Blog Talk Radio.
All right, how you guys doing this Saturday? This is Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Joseph Smith coming to you guys live in Revolutionary Gospel News. I'd like to thank God for the day. This is the Sabbath. This is the day that God has made for us to come together or assembly together as a nation, as a kingdom, and to worship Him. You know, this leads back out to our Creator. Today is Sunday, 321. That was the changing of Constantine and the Catholicism movement or their church. And made it, you know, really a day of sun worship. But Saturday is the day God chose. I'm going to give a quick second, quick prayer out, and I'm going to get right into the show. And my show is the New World Order of today. And I'll be talking about the New World Order of today, the coming of the kingdoms that we're looking at and the uniting of this New World Order. All right, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly bow ourselves. We thank you for another Sabbath, another day of being here, a day of having clothes, food, and a place to sleep, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the hearers out there. I ask that you would bless them in the name of Jesus Christ to hear your word, Lord Jesus, and hear what is really said and hear the true message that you have gave to us. And your son came and brought to us, and what seems that we have gotten away from him. We ask for your strength, according to your word and your power and authority, to reside in our lives and lead us in the right way which we should go. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the New World Order of today. I was looking at this. I was looking at how there is a counterfeit kingdom coming about. And, you know, we see the world today in this great confusion, you know. Jesus said, you know, they asked him, what should be the signs of thy coming in Matthew 24? And he told them, take heed. First thing he told them, pay close attention that no man deceive you. And that's Matthew 24. Let's look at what he said here. Matthew 24, the disciples asked him, saying, in verse 3, Chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 3. And as he was sitting on Mount Olive, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming? Notice that. And what should occur? When shall these things take place? And what shall be the signs of thy coming in the end of the world, the end of this age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. First admonition he gave them, pay close attention that no man mislead you. He says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrow. Okay, so you pay attention to that. Every time we look up, depending on if you're looking at American news, you're looking at entertainment news. They talking about Donald Trump, a predator. You know, sexual predator. You're looking at that. I was wondering, people, hold on. I knew something was wrong because I was hearing noise. And I was kind of wondering. I see there's a door been left open. Okay, so you see a sexual predator running for politics. A racist. He's a racist and a sexual predator, okay? You see that in this kingdom. You turn, that's American news. You see Hillary Clinton, and, you know, it's just a big garbage show. It's nothing of importance. While that is going on, the world is in chaos. You see wars, and you constantly see Russia and America. America's always pushing the envelope to see if they can get a war started. You know, they have one going on in Syria right now. You see that, and you see nations rising against nations, kingdom against kingdom. We have that going on as we speak, and they have the BRIC meeting going on, which is British. I mean, sorry, not British. Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa, they're trying to bring about an economic base together. So you see all these things going on. They're all working together, and then you have all these different things and countries fighting and threats from America. America seems to be the biggest problem because everybody's always looking at them. They're always into something. But he said, these are the beginning of sorrow. We do see famines. You know, more famines are more man-made than anything. And, you know, earthquakes, we have some big old earthquakes we've had lately. But bottom line is, he goes on and says, these are the beginning of sorrow. This is where we're at today. This is we're at the very pivotal point of where all things are about to really go bad in our world as we know it. You know, the new world order of the day. So when all these things happen, there's going to be like BRIC is an economic, they're different countries, but they're trying to bring an economic base to combat the reserve currency of America. Okay, because America has a lot of geopolitical stuff going on, and they trying to usurp, you know, but that's not how that's going to work, because the Bible tells us about this kingdom, this counterfeit kingdom that's coming, this new world order kingdom of today. And I'm going to finish this out, and it talks about either the beginning or then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Talking about the children of Israel and believers also. And they shall, and said, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, mislead many. Okay. And because of iniquity shall abound lawlessness, the love of many shall wax cold. A lot of people are going to lose their faith in God because of what is going on. You got people, they talking about it, back up a little bit, it talks about, and many shall be offended and betray one another because the unrighteousness of their dealings with one another. You know, even you look at marriages and stuff, I'm looking at that today, how if one goes down, the other is so caught up in the mindset that this is this person's role instead of just keep doing what you got to do so that to that person gets back in place. Instead, you're playing a counterweight to the whole situation, and really the situation is going to get worse because you just don't understand, keep going. The simpleness of these things, you know, then they talk about how, you know, the lawlessness, people don't have real principles in them, so they do lawless things like that. They don't understand just the basic principle of keep one foot moving before the other and everything works itself out. People don't have that basic knowledge today. You know, you work with people trying to step on other people to get where they're going, you know, and a lot of times those people be the people who end up in leadership is the last person should be in leadership. And so you go ahead, you say, and so it talks about that. It says, and they shall betray one another and shall hate one another because of the lawlessness or the lawlessness within themselves. It says that many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, it's going to be this all over. The love of many shall wax cold. It said, but he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel, not a gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Notice he said the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom, not a kingdom, to all nations. People act like, well, that's what I was saying. I was talking last night, I was talking about the thing, how church has thrown a lot of things out that one word makes people lose the real vision of what is going on. We're talking about a kingdom of God. We're talking about a kingdom where there is no lawlessness. You know, your citizenship, and I'm going to stop by Ephesians 1, but where I'm headed, if you're writing this down, where I'm headed is going to be Revelations 12 and 13 to show you how the kingdom that is coming about, how this kingdom at this particular time, Satan is in full control of these kingdoms. The kingdoms before, when you go back in history, you had the Neo-Babylonian kingdom. You know, he came in contact with God. He knew God, okay? And then you had the Cyrus and Darius, which is also in the Bible. They knew God. They had a relationship. Alexandra, you know, because that was the head of gold, and that was the chest and arms of silver, which Cyrus and Darius, and you got Alexandra, which is the brass. Alexander is the first one comes alone and really don't know God. And then you drop down into the two legs, the iron, you know, that's the Roman Empire. You know, their homosexuality, all kind of madness was going on in their kingdom. And then down to the 10 toes is where we're at now, you know, and 10 toes of clay and iron mixed together, representing the 10 toes represents those 10 horns, which is the Western EU. But let's look at this. Ephesians 1 and 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So according to as he has chosen us, notice he has chosen us. We don't find God. God finds us. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before this world was truly established, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, the adoption. People don't understand the true born again process. That true born again process, that is for all men. He's when Christ had talked about in Luke, when he said this is acceptable time of the Lord. So the born again process, like he said, and that's John 3:3, he said, except a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. Then he said, except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So a person being adopted by the baptism in Jesus' name, being fully submerged, like Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. So fully submerged with somebody calling out on the name of Jesus Christ over you, applying the blood to your life, coming back up, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the gift. That is water and spirit. You have now been adopted into the kingdom, because that is the same gospel, the gospel, that was preached to the Italians in chapter 10. They were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. So that is an adoption plan, as well as the Israelites, the true Israelites, did the same thing. But this is to all the world. So being adopted through that process, you know, Acts 4:12 said, neither is thou salvation under any other name whereby we must be saved. So that name has to be applied to your life. And how it is applied is through baptism. That is what we're talking about, the adoption to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, his purpose, to the praises and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved in Christ, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. That's Acts 2:38. That is redemption. And through his blood, the blood is applied in that baptism, the forgiveness of sin. Notice he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. Okay? And he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's the forgiveness, remission. You got to think cancer. Cancer is something that is growing. When it goes into remission, it goes into retraction. That's the same thing with sin. Sin will grow. Sin, when you go from one state of sin to the next state of sin, if there's no remission and that forgiveness of sin, that remission, and it's also forgiveness because that blood is being applied, stops and knocks out that sin and stops it from growing within you. And then through the word, you begin to remove it all together. Okay, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, his power and authority, wherein he has abound to usward in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that which is concealed from the human eye. That's why it says, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's blind to what's going on. Just like I realize I've been studying this Bible for years under the assumption of church. When I began to realize Christ's message was never church, it was his kingdom, it began to reshape my thinking on how I'm looking at this thing. It began to make me understand that we're talking about a kingdom. And the first part of that kingdom was on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, when salvation came to all men. It started with the Jews, and then it went on to the Gentiles in Acts 10. But it began to make me reshape my thinking and look at it and say, he's talking about a kingdom. So I'm preparing for a kingdom, a citizenship. In his kingdom, I have that citizenship because I've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because Acts 19 says it, he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they say, hey, I've not so much ever heard whether it be the Holy Ghost. They don't even know there is a standard. They didn't understand that there is evidence that you are actually a part of the kingdom. You don't just believe and you go to church every day and you never receive the Holy Ghost. You have never become a part of the kingdom of God. You have never been baptized in Jesus' name, so you have never become part of the kingdom of God. Water and spirit. So he goes on. So you find in Acts 2:38, because he said he washed us in his own blood, our sins in his own blood, Revelations 1:5, And you find that in the baptism in Jesus' name in Acts 2:38. It's the remission of sins. That's why you're baptized, and for you to actually be filled with the Holy Spirit, his redemption. And in whom we have redemption, you know, through Christ, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, his power and authority, wherein he has abound to us words in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will. See, we can see that, you know. When they talking about that next Matthew 13, verse 10, he says, in Matthew 10 and 13, he says, chapter 13, verse 10, he said, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given, because they are part of the kingdom. So therefore, the child of the kingdom, if you're really part of the kingdom, you understand these things that's going on. You're not just blind and not really understanding what you're seeing. You understand. If you're in the scriptures, you got the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit's for. The Spirit reveals these things of the scripture. He doesn't reveal, you're going to get a house, my brother. You're going to get a car. No, he reveals what is going on in his kingdom. He shows us. He brings out of this blind mindset of some church. We run into some government entity. This guy's talking about the here and now and health and wealth and this current life that we're living. Yes, the word of God helps us with the current life, but what they're talking about is not what Christ was talking about. Christ is talking about being prepared now and for the coming kingdom. When you're in church, they're sitting there, they're telling you different things, but they're not telling you the truth of what it is. It's not about a church. It's about assembly. We're all countrymen. We have joined together today to recognize our king and learn what is it going to take to have our rightful citizenship in the kingdom. So he goes on. And he tells them that we should know the mysteries to his good pleasure, to his desire, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might bring together, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven, which is in earth, and in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, his own purpose. God is doing what is pleasing to him. We are here for his purpose. He's not here for our purpose, okay? So he's doing what is pleasing to him, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, who first trusted in his son, in whom we also trusted, after that he heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnestness of your inheritance until the redemption and purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Okay, so he's telling you through that we've been sealed. Everybody who has the Holy Ghost, we've been sealed. We're part of God's kingdom. You know, that question in Acts 19, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Okay, it goes on to, I'm going to jump down to chapter 2, verse 11. It says, wherefore, remember, and this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you know, without God, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You didn't have God in your life. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Okay? And for he is our peace, who has made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the entity, the hostility, that the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself twin, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the entity, the hostility thereby, and came and preached, in other words, taught us peace to him, preached to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. In other words, the Jew as well as the Gentile. This message is to all of us. Because he goes, when he said that, he meant peace. You know, even those who are without promise, without the covenant promise, so even the children of Israel, if they do not take and get baptized in Jesus' name filled with the Holy Ghost, they have no part of the kingdom of God. This is what he's talking about. He had meant peace through his life he gave for us. Okay? And I'm still going to the world because I'm reading on our citizenship right now. Okay, so he preached that even that to them that were far off, verse 17. It says, and now I'm in verse 18, it says, for through him we both have access, we both, the world, have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, not multiple spirits, all these different teachers, all these different churches, and all these places claiming to be parts of God, and all have some different teaching other than what Christ was teaching. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You see that? Fellow citizens. We're no longer foreigners or strangers, and we've been born again according to the scriptures, not a religious spirit or experience, not spirit, but religious experience. So we are all born again. When you're really born again, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a fellow citizen in the kingdom of God, in the household of God. Okay, as he's telling us here, he says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Okay, they're not alienated from the kingdom of God, but fellow citizens with the saints, you know, the household of God, and are built up on the foundations of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom we are all the building fitly framed together, growing unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. See, we're talking about the kingdom of God, this coming kingdom. We're no longer strangers if we did what you're supposed to. A lot of people don't understand. You know, you go to church and they're not showing you that you're just chaos you're living in, this state of mind that you got to abandon. You know, it all belongs to Satan. This is Satan's world right now. But if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you belong to the kingdom of God. Things don't, because they're no longer a mystery in your mind. You begin to see clearly at what you're looking at. You know, you begin to understand the problems and the difficulties this earth is going through and why. You know, you understand that Satan is the one controlling this. And let's look at this, because this is where we headed to this counterfeit kingdom that is coming up on the earth now. And we're not talking about the kingdom of the Antichrist. Let's look at this. And this is Revelations 13, this new world order, universal citizen, global citizenship that I'm talking about now, that counterfeit kingdom that has nothing to do with the kingdom of Christ, the true kingdom. So, and this is verse 13. I mean, chapter 13 of Revelation in verse 1. And I stood up on the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having what? Seven heads and ten horns. And up on his horns, ten crowns. And up on his head, the names of blasphemy. Now, notice this. He had seven heads, ten crowns. Let's look at that. Let's see who this is really talking about. And I'm coming back to that. I'm going to drop down because of time, because that's chapter 12, 1 and 2, you're dealing with the Israelites. But look at this. This is Satan's government. And it says in verse 3, it says, and there appeared a wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now notice the same thing in verse 1 of chapter 13, having seven heads and ten horns. Okay? A wonder, a great red dragon, and the seven crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third parts of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. and she brought forth a man child. We're talking about Jesus, who was to rule all the earth. He will eventually, with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to her throne. So we see that same image described, being described as the dragon. Now let's look at this. Verse 7, I'm going to drop down to verse 7 and 12, chapter 12 and verse 7 of Revelations. It said, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. That's what he talked about when his tail drew the third parts of the stars, those angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth, he's in the process now, ETH, the world, and have cast him unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, the day of Pentecost in heaven, now has come salvation. That was on the day of Pentecost, and strength. And the kingdom of our God, so the kingdom of God shall be within you, chapter 17 of Luke. Okay, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them day and night before our God. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that baptism in Jesus' name, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Now let's go back to Revelation 13. Let's look at this. So now we know this is the devil. We know this beast is being controlled by the devil. It says the beast came up out of the sea, that red dragon, rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, his government system. You know, you're dealing with, when you're dealing with the seven heads, that's seven government systems and 10 horns, which is the Western EU. I have that in my book, The Revival of the Roman Empire, second edition, The Rise of the Antichrist and the Return of Christ. You know, the revival of the Roman Empire. This is what we're seeing. Those seven heads, I explained as, you know, there was Italy, Germany. These are all men represented these kingdoms and dynasties. And Hiroshito, which is Japan. Then you had Great Britain. You have, and it goes into chapter 17 also. You got Great Britain. You had Russia, America. And now we got, which is the seventh. If I missed anybody, missed some of the heads there. But that is in chapter 17, because they talk about, and I'm going to run here real quick. Okay, he said, the beast that thou saw was like that is and is not the same. And this is 17 and 18 of Revelation. This is chapter 17, verse 8 in Revelation. And the beast, I'm just jumping down. And the beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwelleth on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world. They're talking about the Antichrist. When thou shalt behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And say, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sit. And they are seven kings. See, this is the world government controlled by Satan. Five are fallen, one is, and one is yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. The beast that was and is not, he is of the eight and is of the seven and going into perdition. We're talking about the Antichrist, that new world order coming. Going back here to Revelation 13, it said, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet, this verse 2, was the feet of a bear. And his mouth had the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his great seat and great authority. People, what I'm talking about is the coming of the Antichrist. One is going to come out of the Middle East. You got your Pope Francis, and then the other one out of the Middle East is going to be able to unite the Arab people. Europe and America, that's the seventh, which is the EU, and America is, I mean, not America, the EU and the Arab nations, the EU and the Arab nations are going to unite, okay, making that one world government. The one's going to, the Antichrist is going to be coming out of the Middle East, coming to the Bible, Solidius Empire. He's going to unite all of them there. And then the Pope is going to unite the rest of the world. And that's going to be that counterfeit kingdom that we have coming. And people, I'm actually running out of time, so I have to stop there. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a counterfeit kingdom that's coming at us headlong. That will be here shortly. But then we have Christ after the 3.5, because the Antichrist is going to rule 3.5 years. And then we have Christ that's going to come on the scene after that, and the end of that 3.5 years. We got the two witnesses coming. And so this is what we're dealing with today. We're living in a counterfeit kingdom as is. And so us who are part of the kingdom of God, we got to wait for the Lord and learn to live and be ready for the coming kingdom. We can't wait till we get there to get ready. We got to be ready when he comes. I thank you guys for coming out to Revolutionary Gospel News. I hope you guys all have a blessed Saturday. And if you read 17, because I didn't get to finish, but chapter 12, 13 of Revelation, chapter 12 of Revelation, 13 of Revelation, and chapter 17 of Revelation all go hand in hand. 13 is written in reversal because it lets you see who's going to bring the Antichrist on the scene and how it's going to be a new economic system, which is the mark of the beast. But you guys have a great day. This is Revolutionary Gospel News. Once again, this is Arthur Joseph Smith. You guys have a great evening and have a blessed Saturday.